Welcome, everyone. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night edition of Chaos Coming into Reality, once again. And we have a simulcast going on between a conference call with, let me see how many people are on it.
There are 17 participants in the conference.
17 people, and everyone who's listening on BBS. And this is our weekly experiment. And since we're coming from chaos into, crystallization, there's never a guarantee that it'll happen, although it seems to have happened most evenings. And in between chaos and here, we have all these group soul energies that we're working with that seem to join us in very subtle ways. So those of you that are listening on BBS, and maybe if you happen to be tuning in for the first time, I recommend that you sit still and quiet and try to keep separated from background noise, because there's very subtle experiences that happen during the course of this show that are fairly easy to miss if you are just having a bunch of background things go on. So tonight we have Suzanne, Maya, Wayne, Robin, Kathy, Maisie, Anna, Rebecca, Karen, Mary Ann, Francis, and Manya. And Suzanne, who else checked in by you?
Did you say Rebecca?
I did, yes.
And Bill?
And Bill. Okay. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Wen.
And who else?
Aaliyah.
Undine and Carol.
And I think there's two other people on the line that didn't identify.
Anyone like to identify themselves?
Margaret from San Francisco.
Margaret in San Francisco. And who else?
Hi, Wen. It's Jackie in San Diego.
Hi, Jackie. And anyone else? Going once, going twice. Hey, Bill. Bill, are you on?
Yeah, Wen.
I have a question. Did anyone send you any information about this new program we've been doing?
Well, I haven't got it, but they might have sent it.
Okay. You should call Suzanne up. It's kind of like this. There's a one-hour audio introduction from a workshop we did, and of course anyone that's listening can request this also. And basically, these group souls are kind of agreeing to work with people. Now, they'll work with you anyway, of course. You don't have to be part of this program to get them to work with you. But it seems like the people that have taken part in this are accelerating their connections with the energy and having increasing their experiences. And I really haven't advertised it. I guess I'm advertising it now because I'm saying it publicly. But I really haven't told people about it because I really wanted to see if it was really going to work. And it seems like it is. So call Kathy or Suzanne, you know how to reach them, or email them, and have them email you this one-hour audio link, because this may be one of the most significant things I've ever done with my experience.
Oh, that's super.
Okay, so great. And on that note, we have a special treat for everybody, I hope. Is Maya there?
Yes.
Now, Maya, are you on a speakerphone right now?
I am on the speakerphone. Can you hear me?
You're a little bit of echo, though. If you're going to read a poem, you ought to get closer to the mic.
Just a moment. So,
That's much better.
Are we doing it already right now, or?
No, let me give you a proper introduction, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Maya is like one of the most intuitive people, I think, that comes into the line. She's very sensitive to people's energies. In fact, sometimes the energies confuse her because she can't tell. Can I say that? Is it okay if I say that? Sometimes
yes.
It's hard to tell who's you and who's somebody else's energy. But she writes poems about her sensitivity. And she's sent me some of her poems, and I thought they were really insightful. And so I invited her to read a poem tonight. So go ahead.
Exit. Have you ever seen the sun rise, but really seen it? Each time is different and leaves another question behind. Each rising, a setting is seeding. Have you ever seen the sea rocking, but really seen it? Every new wave washes another thought away that must go. Today I will think with my toes. Have you ever seen him smiling, but really seen him? Every little crease sends a tremble to the heart to turn it into dust. And when he exits a sandstorm in the draft.
Thank you. Now, if we were all in the room, everyone should clap. All right, guys, clap. There we go. That's the first time we did that, Maya. All right. Well,
yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Maya. Thank you for sharing. And be prepared in the future. You never know.
All callers are muted.
You know, one of the things about being on this program and being in this flow of this higher energy is sometimes people can think they're special or go on ego trips or feel superior to other people. And I remember years ago, there was a guy who was a spiritual influence to me that said some of the highest people on this planet are on Skid Row or homeless. Here we go, getting emotional. Because they can't fit in a normal way. You know, this whole thing about consensus reality and matrixes and having a big matrix in this realm is not something that is necessarily rewarded by society. In fact, sometimes it's scorned. So when somebody has a big matrix, they have a problem. They say, how can I fit in? Who is going to accept me? No one understands me. And sometimes they just end up saying, why bother? It's easier to realize I'm not going to fit in than to try to fit in a world that I don't belong. And every day, we probably meet some of those people. We see them. And we probably walk by and maybe we feel superior to them. And they might be our teachers, and we miss the opportunity, because this is not about a special, elevated group. This is about a group that's learning to be ordinary, and that within the ordinariness is the elevation. What is the law of one? The law of one is the spiritual precept that has been the theme of the Ra group as far back as Atlantis, where they said, I think, children of the law of one, and of course the Carla Rucker channeling, the law of one. What is the law of one? The law of one is we're all the same energy, and we have subdivided and subdivided to the point that we can't see it anymore. And we think we're not each other. We think we're separate, or we look at other people and we find their faults or their weaknesses, and we look down on them, and they think we think we're better because we don't have the same weaknesses they do. Now, this doesn't mean to be a fool. This does not mean because somebody has a certain weakness to involve yourself in their weakness and then get, so to speak, screwed by them, because that is not the way the law of one works. The law of one means you can notice things, you can be compassionate, but you don't let your energies get involved without using your discernment. Discernment is your key. And discernment's tricky. And in this realm, oftentimes, you don't really get good discernment until you've made a lot of mistakes. And I'm sure lots of you that are listening tonight can relate to making mistakes. I certainly can. And William Blake, who was an English poet, said a famous phrase about this, which I heard years ago and never forgot, and that was, the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. The path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. And that means that you don't know what's right until you do too much, until you do too little. And then you can figure it out. You can start to hone your discernment. And we all are involved in relationships in our life with other people. And I've decided that I've looked at relationships and said there are two kinds of relationships. There are relationships of obligation, and there are relationships of grace. And it's not that relationships of obligation are bad. I don't believe you can get through this realm without having relationships of obligation. For example, if you have rent or if you have a job, you do this and we'll give you that. And that's not wrong. But if all your relationships are relationships of obligation, say your relationship with your children, your wife, your friends, you know, and how would that look? I mean, how would relationship of obligation look in those circumstances? With a friend, you do me a favor, so that means I'll remember that forever, and I'll ask you for a favor, or I'll owe you a favor, and back and forth. Or if you're married, it's like, I'll give you sex if you pay the bills. And these are not wrong relationships, but unfortunately, if one is attaining to a spiritual interface with life, you should attain to having as many relationships that are not relationships of obligation as possible. So, what is if a relationship is not obligation, and it's a relationship of grace, another word for, or another name for the word grace might be gratitude. A relationship of gratitude where you're grateful. Gratitude is a spiritual quality. And in a relationship of gratitude, you can still have exchange. You can still share and give each other what you need. Like, for example, if you have a marriage that has gratitude in it, then, say, for example, the one person will see the other person's need and realize if they can fulfill it, they'll do it because they love that person. And if that person is happier, then they're happier. So this is the beginning of a relationship of gratitude. Seeing a need in another and fulfilling it before it's asked. And ultimately, you can do that and do that, and there should be a reciprocation. I mean, somewhere along the line, there should be a reciprocation, but the reciprocation should come out of a spontaneous gratitude in the person, not out of a feeling of obligation. See, it's very subtle. It's very subtle, and it's a fine line that divides these two. If you just give and give and give and there's no reciprocation, then ultimately the gratitude does not stay because you become kind of a fool giving too much. And I'm sure everyone or most of us have had relationships where we gave too much and felt like a fool at some point when the relationship abandoned us and left us, and that person, you found out they didn't even care, and so you felt used. So that's not necessarily a relationship of gratitude and grace. That's a relationship of attempted grace and bad discernment. Because people do have to reach back. There has to be going back and forth. And when you have a relationship of gratitude, you can feel the energy of the other person. I can. When I think of them, I can feel a movement in myself. I can feel what I call the blending of energies, because gratitude creates a blending of energies. And this is all very subtle because, you know, people read spiritual things and they read about charity and they think, oh, I'm going to be good, so I'm going to give charity. Well, if they don't experience the compassion and empathy of oneness, then they're giving out of a routine, a feeling, if I do this, I'm going to be good, and it doesn't really qualify. It's not bad. It's not like I would tell them not to do it, but it doesn't qualify for what I'm describing. Because we are attempting here to create group energy. And group energy is built around gratitude. And there's many people that are on this line that saw what we were doing and some stepped forward to volunteer and do something to help. And of course, I am the world's worst fearmonger about being obligated. And I said, oh my God, are they going to expect anything of me? Am I going to be obligated? And I watched, and they didn't. They were just doing it because they saw this was something that helped people, and that they saw they were having their own experience. And so they stepped to the plate. And if they hadn't done that, I wouldn't be doing this now. Because behind anyone like doing something like I'm doing, there's lots of people that no one knows about that are actually making it happen, that are as equally as important, if not more important than me, but yet they're in the background. And they're doing it because it needed to get done. And when you do stuff like that with the right attitude, the attitude of gratitude, then you do start evolving spiritually because the strings of energy start reaching and connecting and intertwining with other people. And your matrix starts getting bigger. you have other people that you're sharing space with. And as you do it on an ongoing basis, you shift your reality system and you start living in a new paradigm, I guess. And that is what we are attaining to right now. We have the energy that flows between people on a psychic, intuitive level is more powerful than it's ever been in the recorded history of humans. So the idea of feeling good vibes, the idea of starting off with something which is an entree to a relationship of gratitude, it travels fast and it starts to change the matrix. Every relationship of gratitude, true gratitude, is a relationship which changes the matrix, which changes your position in the matrix, which changes the energy going in and out of you, which changes the appreciation others have for you and the value you have for others. And as you do this, you get more confident and you start learning how to step forward and make a difference to the world around you and to change the energy flows between you and everyone around you. And changing these energy flows is not about having them understand that there's a dimensional shift or that the Earth is the end of a cycle or that people are supposedly going to be ascending in given periods of this time. If you tell that to people, as many of you have learned, the chances are, in a best-case scenario, they may not talk to you again, and in a worst-case scenario, God knows what they might do. So that is not the way to build and increase relationships. People can sense when you're open and loving. They feel your love and they gravitate towards you. There is a definite timeline technique to sharing these more expansive principles, if it's right to do it at all. And oftentimes it isn't. Oftentimes the sharing of it will screw it up for that person. Because for some people, it scares them. And if you're going to scare somebody, even if it's the true information, you're not necessarily helping them in that moment. You don't have enough vibratory space built between you and them to where they feel a safety cushion that would allow you to share this. That's my experience anyway, that having talked about it over and over again. Now, of course, it's one thing to talk about it to a public audience. But even to a public audience, there is the requirement to create a comfort zone, a safety zone, a liking, an opening of the heart. And then, once that's present, you can share information that is more catalytic, and people listen, and they have developed respect for you. But if you just barrel in and start sharing this information, as some people are prone to do, that are in our group and hear all this new stuff, usually it doesn't work. Usually it has negative results instead of positive. And in fact, the people that you might have had an opening of the heart with suddenly shy away from you. So, an interesting thing was, Daphne asked me a question. She said, well, if the thing that's so important is an open heart, then why is all this stuff valuable? Why does it matter? And that's kind of a good question. And she had me thinking about it for a while. And my answer to it was that nobody opens their heart by command. You don't say, heart open, and find it open. We find ourselves in circumstances where our hearts are open through the interlinking of energies between us and those around us. And I would say the particular value of knowing all this more esoteric stuff is, first of all, it creates a bridge between your consciousness and the consciousness of the group souls that have identified themselves to us, so that you look for their energies, that you identify their energies when they occur. And that's a very unusual thing to be able to do, to be able to create a bridge like that. Because one of the things that is certainly true is that even if you have no one that you can open your heart to in your life, you have someone, and someone may not be the right way to describe them, but an energy that you can open your heart to that will reach you and come into your heart. And you'll know who they are, because we've described them over and over again in the books and the calls and in the channelings. You learn to feel the energy. So when you go to sleep at night and you're all alone and you feel that energy, you know they're paying attention. And even though you may not be able to talk to them verbally, you can send energy back to them. And there's an interface of energy back and forth. And it becomes a relationship. And in your consciousness, you can ask for something, and they might answer. So that's one of the values, and I would say that's quite a great value in the work we're doing. This is not a philosophy. This is not a message. This is a bridge. And even though I'm talking in words and concepts, while I'm talking, many of you can feel the movement of energy in between my words. And you've learned to identify that movement as them. And as you learn to identify that, and you keep coming back and experiencing that, it becomes a relationship that you own by yourself, not dependent on me or anyone in the group. It becomes yours forever. And that's valuable. When you start to hold that energy of that love for these group entities, and you keep your heart open with them, there's a magical thing that occurs, that when you're around other people, you don't have to give up that relationship. And then you will change and uplift the energies of those people around you. Just because your energies are open. And things will start speeding up in your life. And instead of being around people and being required to make conversation, or oftentimes what I call reporting, which is one of my little pet peeves, that if anyone, people say all the time, so what's new, how you doing, how's this, how's that? And, you know, I learned to answer that question by saying, I don't talk about that anymore. But if you want to know what's really important, ask me what's important, and I'll tell you. Now that's you can try that on some people, and then you can say, "Well, I read this guy Winfrey's book, and it's amazing. It talks about all this stuff." And you want me to, but always ask them, "Do you want to hear more?" It's kind of like a little bit out there. And you want to hear more about it? And if they don't say yes, just stop it. But if they say yes, you've opened the door. So when people say, "How are you doing?" you say, "I don't answer that question, but would you like to know what's really important?" It'd be interesting to get some feedback about how that works for people. Because when I started doing that, it really, really worked well for me. Because suddenly, I was talking about things that were important, but I wasn't inflicting them on people because they agreed to have me talk about it. And so it opened the door, and it wasn't like imposing on their free will. Because if I didn't do that, and I started talking about it, then oftentimes they would feel impinged upon, and I stopped communicating. I mean, they wouldn't hear it. It sounded too weird or whatever. So the goal here is to have the contact with the higher dimensions and the intelligences in the higher dimensions and have the flow through this dimension through gratitude. And now you have a complete circuit. You have energy coming in from the crown chakra, moving itself through you, expressing out through the heart chakra, and into the world around you. And this is probably the simple rules of how to evolve and handle this period of time we're going through. Now, a bonus to all of this, which I think is true, but I'm not sure because I haven't been there, but I think this is true, is that if you're making connections with these positive group souls, when you die, those connections are still going to exist. And one thing I read, they said the energy of what you're connected to is where you go in your next life. So if you're connected to those group souls, then you have that special connection that will be there after you disappear from this realm. And once you know you have that, there's not much else to worry about down here, except how do I live my life to the fullest each day. And it takes the burden of worrying. I hope I finished everything. I don't want to die too soon before I finish things. I mean, I think that's not an unusual thing to think. I used to think that. And maybe sometimes I still do. But having these connections and feeling them on a daily basis, feeling those energies around you, it does put you through a lot of pressure. It is a pressure cooker, because once you open up to those energies, all your places where the energy is blocked, where the energy is still attached to third dimension in your body, all those places are going to be stimulated. And sometimes it's going to, for some people, it's going to create huge pain and suffering for a while. Till the energy that's trapped is going to release itself. And that's what in Christianity they call the dark night of the soul. Some of the stuff we talk about is like, I don't know, Suzanne is one of those people that does a lot of cross-referencing on a lot of things, because as far out as it is the first time you hear it, there's so many books, channelers out there that are touching in to very similar types of information and very similar scenarios, that we are in a dimensional shift right now, that the Earth is moving from third chakra to fourth chakra, that your heart chakra has to be open to continue in this upgraded Earth, that there is going to be a separation of souls, those that upgrade and those that start over, and the decisions for those separation of souls are being made right now. And in a couple of the channelings, it was indicated that past 2012, now I don't know if this is true, but past 2012, it'll be very hard for someone to switch their direction. In other words, the person that was going to be a cycle repeater would most likely be a cycle repeater, and the person that was going to graduate would graduate. And it would be hard for the cycle repeater to then go into the graduation mode. Now, I believe that could change if there's enough people like us on the planet, because then there's a lot of people holding this loving energy, and we change the consensus. But they did say that. They did say that the major divisions would happen in the next 4 years, and that the things we're doing now, Ross said this through David Wilcock, would be written on the skein of space and time forever, that the differences that we can make for other people, that we have the ability to cause people to change their directions. And some of you that are on this line are on this line because somebody bugged you that said, you got to hear this guy, you got to hear these stories. And honor that person, because they knew what they were doing. And study our material and see if it makes sense to you. This is the stuff I'm talking about, I say over and over again, don't believe it because I say it. That would be the worst reason to believe it. There is so much material that I've written, that I've connected with, it's quoted in my book, and stuff that I've quoted on workshops, and from other authors, too. I had picked up a book that was laying around called You Are Becoming a Galactic Human. And it's a book by Sheldon Neidel, who is also communicating he doesn't identify them as group souls. I think they're lower than group souls. They're high spacemen that seem to be positively disposed. But they're describing very, very much a scenario that we're describing. And sometimes they use different words for the same group souls we're talking about. In other words, they've been identified to me as the Council of Elohim and the Ra Confederacy, or the Ra Alliance sometimes. So I've heard the Elohim be called the Council of Light. I believe there's someone that channels the Syrian Council, which is seems to be the Ra Confederacy. I'm not sure there was the White Brotherhood. Now, I'm not sure about this. The White Brotherhood might have been part of the Ra group. And Ptah and Ramtha. Ramtha, who Jay-Z Knight channels, is certainly part of the Ra group. But, you know, I don't know. Probably Jay-Z Knight doesn't know that. And I don't want her to draw her conclusions for her. But if she studies my book and the Ra material, she might come to that conclusion. So I was going to read a couple paragraphs here from Sheldon Neidel, You Are Becoming a Galactic Human. And again, whenever I quote anything like this, I'm not sure everything that he says is accurate or true. I haven't studied him to make those kinds of decisions. I haven't done a channeling in AFM as Sheldon Neidel. Can I depend on him? I'm speaking from my own gut reaction. So it doesn't, you know, I'm not telling you guys to believe this blindly, but you'll see the connection to the work we do. So here is page 139. Let's begin by looking at God's creation from a purely spiritual aspect. The earth, as with all the various planets of the solar system, is surrounded by a spiritual hierarchy composed of spiritual beings called angels, archangels, and ascended masters. Their sole purpose is to act as spiritual mediators for the eight interdimensional evolutionary energies. Now, of course, Ra says there are eight dimensions or eight levels. These angelic mediators transfer these energies through the appropriate interdimensional portals for transport into your third-dimensional stellar energy pattern. These creative and evolutionary energy patterns, in turn, create the physical universe, which includes your solar system and the planet you are now residing upon. In order to better understand your relationship to the creation, and ultimately to your role as a planetary and stellar guardian, we will explain how the creation was accomplished by the supreme creative force, or what you have loosely called God. This creation is one that is continuous and evolutionary in nature. Every aspect of a particular creation has an important and unique cycle. This present creation is the sixth cycle and will run between 50 billion and 100 billion years. Some 50 billion years ago, your universe's physical creation was begun by the Time Lords under the direction of the supreme creative force, God. This present creation was the last in a series of six creations that have continued from the beginning of time. Each physical creation has its own cycle and its own pattern. This physical creation was done to show how light could transmute darkness to produce an even higher light, which is composed of the highest love. This love will transform your galaxy and raise it towards the supreme creative force and its chief emissaries, the Time Lords. Since you may not have heard of the Time Lords, we will describe them. They are what might be called the divine shepherds of physical creation. When the supreme creative force first began the physical creation, the Time Lords were created, for time is the unit that controls all of physical creation. It is said that in the ancient stories of creation, that humans first learned in the Vega system that the initial pulse of time created the light of creation, and from it flowed all things that now exist in your physical universe. The Time Lords exist to an infinite number of dimensions, and their task is to regulate and supervise the physical creation according to the divine right action. Now I'm just making a comment here. It seems to me that the Time Lords are the Elohim. Actually, the purpose of the Time Lords is twofold in nature. Initially, they had to create the eight dimensions of physical creation, and secondly, they aided the dimensional spiritual hierarchies in their task of regulating the spiritual energy exchanges between each dimension. It is the task of the spiritual hierarchies to control interdimensional energy transfer by the use of interdimensional gates, or as they are called, stargates. These gates serve as the flux barriers between dimensions and aid by regulating the energy flow to allow only those sufficient energy exchanges needed to successfully maintain the viability of physical creation. As a part of this divine plan, the Time Lords had to construct the third dimensional galaxy according to the divine plan of the supreme creative force. To accomplish these tasks, the Time Lords were given the creative pulse of time, With this energy tool, all things are possible and can be accomplished according to the divine plan. Time has many meanings and many implications in the divine plan. It is a process by which the light of creation is established in the physical universe. Time is also the mechanism that makes possible all the laws and methods of creation. Yet its function varies with its specific needs. Time is all things, and yet it is none. These concepts are portrayed in our galactic science and in our spiritual philosophies about creation. Through this knowledge, we learn that time is the great enigma. Like water on your world, time is said to seek its own level. It goes on like it's more interesting. So let us look at these eight dimensions from your point of view and get a better understanding of how reality is formulated. The first seven dimensions are each created to express various aspects of the physical creation. The eighth level is the one where all of those lower qualities come from. As mentioned, above this great light of creation at the eighth dimension, there sits the great multitudinous infinite Godhead. And I'm going to stop and call in the lights because we're about a couple minutes away from signing off on BBS Radio. And those of you who are listening on BBS, you're welcome to check out our websites, higher-vision.org. You're also welcome to call in on our regular phone call-in line, which is if you go to Higher Vision, you can email Suzanne. Her email's there, and she'll give you the number. And also on Wednesday nights, we have another conference call at 6 o'clock with Matthew Edwards answering questions that he channels. And then on Sunday morning, we have a grid healing by Gino Jeremiah, who's doing this out of Madrid, Spain. So, in calling in on the light, this is that time where one way of looking at this is it's a way of accessing a wormhole here on the line. We are now all multidimensional beings, and we're going to open up to our multidimensional selves. And many of us can feel this energy. This is the time, take a moment to be very still and quiet. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the Earth. And right now, those of us who voluntarily choose, we join our energies. We join the parts of ourselves that are in higher dimensions. And we create a group energy. And we invite those group souls, those positive forces operating service to others, to join with our energies right now. So we have a huge conglomerate of light energy, which each of us is accessing. And some of you can feel it. Some of you can feel it in your space. And into this energy, put your sorrows, your sufferings, your cares, and your physical disabilities. If you're feeling that in energy, know that it is conscious, and know that it is aware of you, and it wants to be your friend. Keep your intent high, and use this energy in your life. Every day. On that note, we're going to say goodbye to BBS, which has their next program starting in 3 minutes. And I'm going to unmute the line and give everyone an opportunity to put anything of their specific
issues. All callers are unmuted.
Into the light. Suzanne.
Yes, thank you, Wynn. I would like to send love and light to my daughters and to my grandchildren, to those who couldn't be on the line tonight, and to everyone on the line. And my gratitude and love for those in the higher dimensions, the Ra, the Elohim, and all those who are assisting us. I'd like to also send love and light to the homeless, the caregivers, the hospital and hospice workers, all those who serve others on a physical level and toil many long hours. I'd like to send love and light to the wanderers and to you, Wynn, and to Terry and to Daphne. Thank you.
Thank you. And Maya, are you on the line?
Yes. I would like to... Can you hear me?
Yes.
I would like to put into the light myself, my questions, financial situation, and the sale of my van, and the wolves. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Wayne?
Oh, yes, thank you, Wynn. I'd like to send light and love to all those on the line with us tonight. I'd like to send light and love, healing, and protection to Dana Davis, to Jim.
There are 20 participants in the conference.
And Aaron Davis. And I'd like to send light and love and healing to Martha Derrick, Nell Eric, Ralph Chambers, Ralph Krim, Charlie Jameson, Kelly Hughes, Tommy Falco, and Nancy Falco, and gratitude to the Ra and the Elohim and all those service to others who are helping us. Thank you.
Thank you. And Robin?
Yes, thank you, Wynn. I'd like to send everyone on the call into the light, the Church's Center for Land and People, all our farmland, all our soil, Mother Earth, the Sacred Feminine, the Elgin Search for God Study Group number 1, all our families and pets, including those who have left this realm, all light workers, all fear.
Oh, my gosh.
And gratitude to Ra, Elohim, and the Crow, and all those who assist us. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Kathy.